It's not a coincidence, because the opinion you have of something always forms the foundation upon which future decisions are made. Listen, if I think this thing won't hold me, if I'm of the opinion that this chair won't hold me, I will never sit on. I'll make a decision concerning that. So your opinion forms the foundation upon which decisions are made. And don't forget, sometimes it's not your conditions, it's your decisions that determine your destiny. Good morning, everybody. You may have your seats, please. I'm just seeing some faces this for the first time. I hope it's not too late to wish you a happy new year. So happy new and a very good morning to all those watching us online too. Hallelujah. Now, there's one thing that my wife makes me do a lot, watch documentaries. And there was this time we saw this documentary where this thief breaks into this guy's house. He's got every intention to kill the owner of the house. It's a true story. So the guy walks in, the thief walks in, and the owner of the house finds out that there's a thief in the house. He takes his gun, pulls the trigger, pulls it again, and he doesn't shoot. All I'm trying to say this morning is the weapon may be formed, but it will not prosper against you. It may be formed, but it will not prosper against you. You know what God told Pharaoh? He says, I will make a distinction between my people and your people, and you will know that I, the Lord, am God in the land. One of the things, hallelujah, one of the things I wish for you this year is that God will distinguish you. That he will make a way for you where you can't see anyway. No, that his favor upon your life will speak for you wherever you go. Hallelujah. If you believe, they say, I believe. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, a woman one day went to Elisha the prophet. Went to Elisha the prophet. And this is what she told Elisha. It says, your servant, my husband, is dead. And he feared God. That's what the woman said. He feared God. But now his creditors are after me. And if I don't pay them, they are taking away my children. You know what Elisha said to her? He said, what have you got? And she said, all I have is a jar of oil. He said, bring it, we'll use it. He said, go and find different jars and bring it. So this woman goes and finds different jars and she brings it. And Elisha said, I want you to fill these jars with oil. And the woman said, you don't get it. It's only a tiny bottle. It wouldn't say, no, this is a prophetic direction I'm giving you. Just do it. So this woman begins to fill each jar. And as she does it, miraculously, all the jars are filled. She sells the jars. You know the story. Pays off her debt and then leaves off the rest. You know, but the reason why I'm sharing this story is this. When she goes to Elisha, Elisha doesn't really say anything about the husband. Not that it wasn't important. But because, you know, we don't concentrate too much on what we've lost. We need to concentrate on what God can do with what we have. Do you understand? We need to concentrate on that. And listen, I know in the last 12 months, people have lost a lot. People have lost a lot in the last 12 months. Family, jobs, relationships, finances, you name them. And until you're in their shoes, you will not understand what they are going through. No, they say before you criticize somebody, walk at least 1 mile in their shoes for you to understand where they are. So I understand this, and my heart goes out to these people. But I also understand, and I know that we serve a God who can restore in the next 12 months. He can restore completely in the next 12 months. I've seen it. He's done it in my life. And through our scripture, you see time after time, God is restoring things. There was one day, the Bible says, you know, life in Israel was unbearable. I mean, worse than what we've been through in the last 12 months. To the point that people didn't even know what they were going to eat the next day. To the point that even some of them were eating their own children. And then God, in his mercy, sends Elisha the prophet and says to him, prophesy over these people. Tell them in 24 hours, whatever you're going through is going to be history. Because I'm going to change the situation. Now, there was a guy there who said, I don't share this opinion, Elisha. I don't share this opinion. And you know what Elisha said? He said, fine, I understand you don't share this opinion. But that's not going to stop God from doing what he's going to do. Instead, he's going to stop you from experiencing what God is going to do. We have to start right this year, and we have to make sure that nothing stands in the way of what God wants to do in our lives this year. Whether it's our opinion, whether it's our unbelief, whatever it is, we have to make sure it doesn't stand in the way of what God wants to do. God sent Elijah the prophet to a woman, a widow in Zarephath. He says, stay with her until the famine is over. Elijah goes to this woman and finds out that the woman is worse than a church mouse. She's broke. But that didn't even move Elijah, because he knew who had sent him to that woman. The woman, on the other hand, was worried because she didn't know the God of Elijah. So she says to Elijah, as the Lord your God lives, I don't have enough for myself, for you, and for my child. In fact, all I have is just this very thing, this little food for me to eat and my child to, and then we die. Elijah gave her a prophetic direction. He says, do this and you will live. She followed the instructions. She did it, and the Bible says they lived for many days. After ministering to 5,000 people, Jesus instructs his disciples to feed them. They said to Jesus, this is impossible. This is a remote place. How do we feed 5,000 people in a remote place? I remember once, you know, Jesus went to a party, a wedding party, and then the wine ran out. You know that story. And the mother of Jesus goes to Jesus and says, we need you to help us fix this situation. That's the story where Jesus turns water into wine. But my point is, you know, this is a wedding. They had planned for everything, and still they still run out of wine. So sometimes your best laid out plans can still fail without God's intervention. Understand that. And so when God tells them to go and feed the crowd, they say, Lord, we can't do this. We don't have enough. Jesus said, but what do you have? He said, we have nothing. In fact, there's a boy here with 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's all we have. He said, that will do. I will use it. He doesn't take the 5 loaves and 2 fish. The boy offers it. Now, that's the difference. The boy offers it. You know, and how our year pans out and the hand of God we see in our lives will depend on what we offer him this year. Our time, our lives, and whatever. How submissive we are. If we want to see his hand in our affairs, then we have to learn how to submit to him. And so Jesus prays over these 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he gives it to the disciples. And as the disciples are giving it out, it begins to multiply at their hands. Now, they are in charge of the distribution, but they are not in control of the multiplication. And they begin to say, my God, how does this God do it? How does this God, 5 loaves and 2 fish, how does he do it? Scratching their head, thinking, how does he do it? Well, just like he's always done it, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Jesus. Now, you see, these two stories I've just shared. You know, the one where he sends Elijah to go to the widow of Zarephath, and Jesus instructing these disciples to feed the 5,000. Both stories, two of them said, we don't have what it takes to take care of the situation. That's what the woman said. The disciples said, we don't have what it takes to take care of the situation. Now, were they telling the truth or were they lying? Naturally, they were telling the truth. I don't have what it takes. But that wasn't heaven's perspective. That wasn't heaven's opinion. I need you to understand this. We have to start this year right, on the right opinion of who God is. You say, oh, well, what does she really matter? I will show you something in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Listen to this. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? He said, who do people say the Son of Man is? He wanted to know the opinion of the people. Doesn't say who do people say the Son of Man? He doesn't want the opinion of demons or angels. No, he wants the opinion of men. Because you know, the Bible says angels even hear the name of God and tremble. They tremble, they are afraid. There are times Jesus steps in their territory and the demons begin to shake, they begin to react. They know Jesus and they fear him. We're human beings, God will talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, and it doesn't sink. It says, you stiff-necked people, listen, we need to learn to fear God. No, it tells me your opinion of God. When you can walk in anyhow into his presence, when you know you are late and you don't care, it tells me the kind of opinion you have.
It's true. Demons will even do, they know the power he carries. They tremble. So he said, who do men say I am? Watch what they say. They replied, verse 14, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist. That's one opinion. Some say Elijah. That's another opinion. Some say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. That's another opinion. Now, there's nothing wrong with all this opinion. It's just that they fall short of who God is. Now, John the Baptist, as powerful as he is, he still had his limitations. Nowhere near Jesus. So Jesus said to them, so they replied, some say you are John the Baptist, others say you are Elijah, and still others say you are Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? He wants your opinion. Who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? Now the whole place was quiet. All the disciples, they were all quiet. Nobody said a word. Then Peter speaks up and he says something. Look at this. Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Not just any God, the Son of the living God. If you're going to go through this year, you need a God who is alive. There's so many things we serve that are not alive, you know. You need a God who is alive to see you through this year. Now watch this. Then Jesus replies, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. Listen, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. You know what that means? He said, Peter, right now you have an opinion that is in alignment with heaven. You have an opinion that is in agreement with heaven. And then he goes on to say this, verse 18. He says, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell will not overcome it. He says, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell or Hades will not prevail against it. So you see, he says, Peter, you have an opinion that is in alignment with heaven. Then from opinion, he moves to foundation rock. It's no coincidence. From opinion, he moves to foundation rock. It's not a coincidence because the opinion you have of something always forms the foundation upon which future decisions are made. Listen, if I think this thing won't hold me, if I'm of the opinion that this chair won't hold me, I will never sit on. I'll make a decision concerning that. So your opinion forms the foundation upon which decisions are made. And don't forget, sometimes it's not your conditions, it's your decisions that determine your destiny. Yes. And so your opinion as we go through this year is going to be hugely important. It's going to be hugely important. Don't just say, oh, well, my opinion of God is this side. No, it has to reflect in the way you live. It has to reflect in the way you talk. Look at the likes of Abraham and Job, for instance. God says to Abraham, sacrifice your son to me. Listen, even if you've got 10 children, it's still a problem to sacrifice one. Unless, of course, you don't like them. Yes, it's still a problem to sacrifice one. But this guy doesn't even contest the idea. Doesn't even challenge God. Just goes and does it. It tells you what he thinks of God. It tells you what he thinks of God. And as he raises the knife to sacrifice, God says, stop, stop. Now I know. Now I know that everything is not a front. You really respect me. You really fear me. And as a result, God opened doors for that guy, which we are still enjoying today. Look at Job, for instance. He says, I know my Redeemer lives. If everything you have can be stripped away, I mean literally stripped away, and you can still say, I know my Redeemer lives, then seriously, you are somebody to be reckoned with. Everything he had was stolen away from him, and still his opinion of God was intact. It was stolen away from him, not over a period of time. In one day, Everything was gone, and still his opinion of God was intact. Everything. That tells me that that guy has a foundation ready for a double portion. So many of us keep saying, Lord, I want a double portion. I want a double portion. Do you have the foundation to take it? He says, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all of this will be added. So my kingdom and my righteousness should be the foundation. Then everything else will follow, because otherwise you can't hold it. Have you considered my servant Job? That is what God said to the devil in a different realm. When God, creator of the universe, can say, have you considered my servant Job? Mentions your name in a conversation. Then you know you're a don. Then you know. Have you considered my servant Job? There's nobody righteous like him in all of the earth. That is God's opinion of Job. I wonder what God's opinion of you is. So it works both ways. Not just what you think of God, but what does God think of you? It works both ways. So now the question is, how do I develop an opinion that aligns with heaven? How? How do I get an opinion that aligns with that of heaven to make sure I go the right direction this year? I like what God said to Joshua. He said, this book of the law shall not depart from your lips. Meditate on it day and night. Then you make your way successful. It doesn't say read it. Say meditate. Meditate, not read. Meditate. So as you begin to meditate on the word of God day and night, it begins to change your perspective on certain things. It begins to change your perspective on certain issues. Then an opinion begins to form that aligns that of heaven. Do you know that success will never manifest around you unless it's already established within you? That is why the likes of Joseph, for instance, you put him anywhere, even in prison, he will flourish. And so listen, as you meditate on his word, it begins to develop something in you that no matter where they put you, you still flourish. You still flourish. Somebody sent me a picture and some videos, not 2-3 days ago, I think, of an air ambulance somewhere in Sussex with a spotlight shining over the sea with paramedics around. I said, what's this? Who goes out in this cold? I said, well, somebody's trying to kill themselves in the sea, and so these guys have been called. Listen, people are fed up. Like, they feel like their freedom has been taken away. They feel like their jobs have been taken away, and they have nothing left. The only thing they can do is to kill themselves. They've got nothing left. Take away my freedom if you want. Take away my job if you want. But I still have my relationship with God. You can't take it. You can't take it. You see, that is what we have that they don't have. So please, let's not take it for granted. They can come up with an excuse and freeze your account. There's nothing you can do. You can't freeze my relationship with God. Because in him I live, in him I move, and in him I have my being. You can't. Mark chapter 10. Verse 46. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want? What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, Jesus said, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Who is ready to receive what God has for you this year? Who is ready to receive what God has for you this month? You see, this guy, I don't know how long he'd been sat by the roadside. He's screaming when he hears Jesus going past. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, the fact that he even says, Son of David, tells me that this guy knows more about Jesus than the average person. Not many people refer to Jesus as Son of David. Rabbi, maybe, but not Son of David. So the fact that this guy calls Jesus Son of David tells me he already has an opinion about this guy. And he says, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Listen, we all need mercy. We all need mercy at some point. Grace is when God gives you what you don't deserve. But mercy is when he doesn't give you what you deserve. We all deserve to die. But he took our place. He took our place. He gave us a clean start. Clean start. Look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1 verse 14. He says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is what I like. Full of grace and truth. You know, another word for grace is favor. So he's full of favor and truth. He's full of it. He's full of it. And that's why the Bible says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain favor, grace to help in time, that we obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Because he's full of favor and he's full of truth. We need favor to open doors, but we need truth to establish us. We need truth. Listen, if there's any opinion you're going to go with, it has to be the opinion of God. I always say that I don't want to have an opinion that is contrary to what God has. I don't want to have an opinion that is contrary to what God has. One day a young prophet went to one of the kings. I can't remember. God sent him to go to one of the kings. He goes, that's whatever he has to do. And God said to him, do not eat anything when you're offered food. He went, didn't eat. Now on his way back to wherever he came from, there were some guys there who saw what had happened, went to tell their father, who was a prophet. Said, oh, the young prophet came this and did that. Now he's going back. The father said, where is that prophet? He said, oh, he's just on his way. And the prophet followed this young prophet. Now when he caught up with the young prophet, he was sat under a tree, maybe tired and resting. He said, oh, do you want to come to my house and have something to eat? Now, the young prophet said, no, I've been told by God not to eat anything. The older prophet said, no. I just saw an angel who told me that you're okay to come and eat. And this young prophet followed this old prophet and went to eat. Now, as they are sitting by the table eating, the older prophet tells this young prophet that, look, you made a big mistake. God says, because you've done this, you die as a result. The point I want to make is, God had already told him not to do this. This older prophet comes and tells you something else. You really don't want an opinion that is different from God. It can cost you. It can cost you, and it cost him his life. It cost him his life. So anyway, back to our story. Blind Bartimaeus is sitting by the roadside, crying, Son of Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the more he tries to shout, there are people around him who say, quiet, 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 quiet. And the harder they try to stop him, the louder this guy shouts. The harder they try to stop him, the stronger this guy presses into his blessing. Because he already has an opinion of who Jesus is. I may never get the chance again. So this is my time to press into the blessing. And it paid off. You know why? Because Jesus said, call him. And that word Jesus gave took that guy literally from the dregs of life, from the dregs of society, into a place of prominence before God. So your opinion of him can take you from where you are to a place of prominence. Now, here's the interesting part. As this guy comes to Jesus and he says to Jesus, and Jesus says to him, what can I do for you? He says, I want to receive my sight. He says, you get your sight, and he receives his sight. But the same people, you know that the same people who tried to stop him from going to Jesus were the same people when Jesus said, bring me, who took him there. Listen, when the favor of God is upon you, it will outweigh every opposition you face this year. When he selects you, nobody can reject you. Yes. His favor will open doors for you that nothing else will. So instead of being distracted by everything that is going on, instead of being distracted by other people's opinion, why don't you just keep your focus on who you think God really is, or not so on who you know God really is. Don't let other people's opinion distract you. Keep your focus. Keep your focus. He says, I am the beginning and I am the end. He starts and he finishes. Some of us try to start with God, but we don't end with him. No. You know, in the book of Genesis, the Bible says when God created you, when he formed you out of dust, your lifeless body lay there, and he put his breath in you. Then you came alive. You became a human being. You came alive. It's silly to think that something that was started in the spirit can be completed in the natural. No, it starts in the spirit. It has to be sustained in the spirit. It has to. So I know there's so much going on, you know, but we need to look to what heaven is saying. We need to. We need to tune in. If the direction we go this year depends on how well, we start. It depends. And you want an opinion that is in alignment. Now, if you're here today and you know you have a good opinion of God, that is great. But if not, begin to spend time reading the Word. Let it begin to change your perspective. Let it begin to change the way you see things. Because it will pay off. It will pay off. Yes. He says, I want to make a distinction between your people and my people. Psalm 124, if it hadn't been for the Lord on our side, if it hadn't been for the Lord on our side, it's not the government, it's not your money, it's not anything, it's the Lord on your side that has sustained you. So why do you want to turn your back on him? It's my prayer that God will distinguish you this year. There's got to be something about your life that will attract people to you. Because you are the light of the world. There's got to be something about you that will attract people to you. Don't just be a church goer. Let the manifestation of power of God be upon you. Let people see it. Since your light will draw people to you. So if my light is not drawing people to me, then I'm not doing something right. It's either I'm concealing the light or I don't have enough light. Can I pray with you this morning, please? Can you stand on your feet? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you so much that if it hadn't been for you, it's because you're on our side. It's because of your goodness that we are alive. It's because of your mercy that we are alive. It's because of your favor that we are alive. But above all, I know we are alive because you have a purpose for us. You created us, Lord, for such a time like this. It would be a shame, Lord, that we miss the purpose for which you created us for. Father, I pray, Lord, and I lift every single person here into your hands, Lord. Lord, show yourself strong in their lives today. Show yourself strong in their lives tomorrow. Show yourself strong in their lives every day, God. Let the people, God, that they mingle with, people they talk to, know that, Lord, there is something different about them, Lord. Lord, may the fact that they know you and they serve you not be in vain, oh God. glorify your name, O Lord, in their lives, Father. Father, if you were to be in this room right now, and any member of the congregation approach you right now for healing, you would have done it. And so, Father, I lift every single person here who may be sick in their body, Father. I lift them right now into your hands. There is no room for sickness here. I rebuke you in Jesus' name, and I command you to leave. I pray for strength, O God, where people are weak. Lord, I pray for right relationships, even as they go through this year, God. Oh, I thank you so much, Lord. I see your hand moving right now, O God, over your people, Lord. May testimonies, O God, come out, O God, from this year, Lord. When others, O God, are complaining, we are glorifying you, God. I thank you, Father. And I give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah to Jesus.